Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Leaders from the NFL, NHL, PGA, NASCAR, along with Mark Emmert, the executive director of the NCAA, met with the White House's reopening task force for sports, their return to play task force. And Mark Emmert said, among other things, that the season could be shortened, where at the FBS level, conference championship games are played by Thanksgiving, eliminating 2 weeks of the regular season and kind of mirroring the academic calendar, where a lot of universities have opened up their plan where the in-person instruction would end by Thanksgiving and then return back in like February or something. But this is the kind of the first time that Emmert and the NCAA have openly said that there could be an open change to the way that the football calendar is actually played. But he did say that the plan is to start on time.
He did say the plan is to start on time. I think this is a telltale sign of really Mark Emmert just trying to be a voice. He's been considered a consultant in all of this, because those that don't know, that the NCAA has no power over college football.
That's right.
Which I think is really hard for everyone to understand sometimes, because the players, the actual players, fall under the rules of how the NCAA is set up. But the games, the structures, the bowl games, the championships, all those things, the conference championships, are all under different set of rules. So it's very strange. But to show you how powerless Mark Emmert is, the NCAA declined to even comment on it, because Bill Hancock, the executive director of college football playoff, said playoff organizers were playing on playing schedule, the full schedule,
yeah,
in January 2021. I was like, oh, so does that mean that your playoff is going to happen no matter what? We're not going to modify that. None of that's going to change. So whether Mark Emmert's consulting or not, it shows, it really does show the lack of, I want to say, power that Mark Emmert has. And what was interesting, is so interesting about this, is that, is he trying to just say, hey, look at me, we're important a little bit, we still have a little bit of influence, but oh, by the way, in the end, it's going to be up to you states, and it's going to be up to you leagues and conferences to make your own decisions. We'll advise you, but we're not going to have any power over it.
And that could be a massive, massive advantage and disadvantage, depending on where you fall on this, on if your conference is going to play. Because if your conference championship game is at the beginning of Thanksgiving, but some other conference is playing their championship game that, what, second weekend of December, mm-hmm, as we often see, then you're looking at an extra 2 weeks off for that team, where that's a rust factor, where, you know, having, if the college football playoff is saying, no, we're still going to have, as scheduled, Rose Bowl semifinal January 1, Sugar Bowl semifinal January 1, January 11th, national championship game in Miami, then moving that calendar up puts your conference at a disadvantage, not playing that long and just having that much time off, because it already is a long enough layoff to go from, you know, what, 3 weeks is the layoff from the normal conference championship game to the to the semifinals.
See, the semantics of college football is not that important to me as I watch this and listen to this. What the overarching eye-opening facet of the NCAA is how amazing college football is operating under its own entity, when it's its own business plan, it's under its own values, it's under its own revenue stream, And it's not only under its own revenue stream, it's also fractured within that, where the SEC is different than the Big Ten, and the Big Ten is different than the Big 12, and then the ACC and the Pac-12, and then the MAC, and then all these other things are, all these tentacles are involved. And yet, here we watch this and we go, where is the unified front of college football? Why is there so much separation from what Mark Emmert is saying, from what everyone else is doing, and do that? The fracture model of this is I don't know if there's ever been a time where you've seen something so exposed of college football and why it took this long to get there. Well, did it take a pandemic? Did it take the fact is that players stood up? Did it take name, image, and likeness? What has happened to college football?
How about Mark Emmert having, you know, the balls to walk into that meeting or call into that meeting being like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give an informed decision information on this to congressional leaders, even though he knows he has no power over what's going to happen with the schedule of college football.
Well, they're laughing at him. No, they're laughing at him. Conference leaders are laughing at him. Regional coaches and directors are laughing when he tries to make a point, when they try to govern over anything.
They're like, hey, Mark, you're in sports, so why don't you come here? You know,
it's like, oh, we'll have you come sit in. You guys want to sit in on the meeting?
What would you say you do here?
That's perfect.
And that
could be more perfect.
You're going down. It'd be like us being invited to a meeting on like all of the business affairs of our office. And yeah, they're like, we are the ones that speak for it.
Yeah, we appreciate you being here.
I don't really know. I can tell you what I think's going to happen. People have told me some stuff.
It's like the courtesy invite, you know, the courtesy invite to the party.
Yeah.
You're like, gosh, I guess we better, you know what we should do?
We got to invite Mark.
We better invite Mark. We don't really want him to be here because he's going to tell us what he thinks he wants to do. But okay, we'll just invite him because, you know, he's a nice guy.
What I have also found interesting coming out of that meeting is that Steve Scalise, who's a representative out of Louisiana, who's kind of leading up this return to play task force. He said that there's some schools that might not play football next season, and that's their choice. And then they're going to have to modify the schedule to work around that. First of all, I haven't seen anybody that has said they're not going to play this year.
That seems like massive clickbait to me.
Well, but it's his quote.
I know it's his quote. It just sounds like some arbitrary comment. It's like, well, we think.
But also, it's not that school's choice. Isn't it like the local government that'll make that choice? Because I don't think that there's a FBS program in the country that's going to be like, yeah, we could play, but nah, we're not going to do it. Money isn't worth it to us.
How would you justify Texas State playing football and then watching a team from Northern California say
Stanford or Cal?
How does that process?
Well, it's not.
Well, it doesn't. That's the thing is, process it.
What Scalise is saying is that that's their choice. If Stanford or Cal didn't play football, that would not be their choice. It wouldn't be their choice. They would be a forced hand because we all know that Stanford and Cal would 100% play.
Of course,
if they could.
Of course, they would.
It would be a choice of somebody else, a decision made by somebody else. But if that is the case, a modified schedule where you're eliminating like league opponents, that is going to be a headache that schools are going to have to go through. And that's why, you know, we set that comment up by saying Mark Emmert really doesn't have any power over what's going on here, is because I don't think that that is going to happen. I mean, there may be a couple programs that aren't going to be able to play, but it's so far out there to think that right now that decision has already been made and that they know what's going to happen. But
August 31st
can't
get here fast enough, can it?
That's game one, zero week in college football.
I am so excited for week one in the Pac-12. I can't tell you what Oregon and Washington have on their plate and USC have on their plate for those three games. I know those games are going to happen. I know they're going to happen. Chalk it up. Put the money on in Vegas. Put the post-it note on. That's going to happen. Those three games are as excited as I've ever been for Pac-12. That's it. Emma. I mean, that's from that week on, we're all looking around going, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Well, all eyes right now are on Oklahoma State and Alabama, because you see five players from Alabama tested positive yesterday.
Yeah.
after the day before on Wednesday, it was seen that 50 players were holding, like, and it wasn't an organized team event, mm-hmm. but they were on the band field at Alabama doing workouts.
Yeah, it's going to happen, guys. And then
five players ended up testing positive yesterday.
I mean, it's going to happen. It's just you're not going to be able to stop the way. I mean, you can't eradicate what's going on right now. So players are going to get tested, but they're going to be around the right people. They're going to be in a closed area. They'll be around the right medical staff. They're a lot safer there. Things are right. better under control in those situations than they are out on their own.
And hopefully we don't get to this point, but, you know, with all of these schools opening up at the beginning of June and then, you know, Pac-12 opening up June 15th, especially Oregon State,
Pac-12
they've gotten
go
the go-ahead.
Pac-12 go 0-3, 1-2, 3-0.
What?
That's what I'm saying. Those three games. Pac-12 go 0-3.
Oh, I don't know.
Make a prediction.
Well, hold on. I don't know, but we're going to see with the like Alabama's and Arkansas and all those schools opening up early, kind of if there's going to be a threshold for what stops everything, because five in doing it for Alabama, and we've all known this. It's got to be, you've got to have a plan of action, and they're seeing that plan of action right now with positive tests. So we'll find out.
Well, yeah, the other college football teams that have an incumbent starter that's coming back, they have a huge advantage right now for what they're doing with their sports and what they're doing, because that gives them the comfort of knowing that they got a quarterback that has a little of experience. All these quarterbacks, new quarterback Oregon, new quarterback Washington, USC, they have a little bit of an advantage. Now they're playing Alabama, but all those guys that haven't had a chance to work with each other in the spring and get together, they got a lot of catching up to do.
1-2 is my prediction too, by the way.
1-2, who wins of all the teams?
I don't know yet.
What?
I don't know yet.
Well, you can't say 1-2 and then...
Yeah, I know. I think USC loses to Bama.
Okay.
And then UW Michigan, that's a tough one.
That's the team I have winning. I have Washington, because I think
Oregon, Ohio State.
Yeah, I just don't know enough about Oregon's quarterback situation. And Justin Fields is you're talking about the guy that's going to lead the Heisman Trophy candidacy right out of the gate. And Ohio State's there. I have Washington winning of those three. Now, they all could be good games, but that's the one that I have.
Oregon's defense has got dudes, though, this year.
I know that. Their quarterback situation, baby. I'm very curious about what's going on there. Yeah. Same with Washington, but I'm not as scared as Michigan as I am of Ohio State when I talk about as good as they are. Now,
that's a good point.
It could flip. It really could flip. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Justin Fields is the only caveat, I think, that of all those three. And then Alabama is Alabama.
Alabama's going to truck.
Truck them?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
They have a new quarterback. They have they lost 14 guys. Mm-hmm. You think they're going to truck USC?
Yes.
What is truck? 14 points, 21 points?
Yeah, something like that. I'll split the difference. I'll go 17.
What's the line right now? Do they have a line in Vegas?
Oh, they absolutely have lines.
Oh, yeah, they
do.
Hold on.
Do they?
Yeah. Buck will find that. And we will find that out. Plus, Adam Silver is already backtracking on one of his comments he made about the return of the NBA.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!